There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Man, oh man. Norwegian is just difficult to learn. It's difficult to read. It's difficult to say. Oh, wait, but I also, this is what I'm kind of upset about. So we're going to begin today, and I'm looking at you, Kissel. I'm looking at you, Dogmeat. Ow. And neither one of you decided to bring your Mjolnir amulet. Because, to be honest, I feel nude without it. I feel without courage, without valor, without assertiveness, which are the main qualities of the god Thor, of the Æsir branch of the Tree of Life.
Wow.
And I gotta say, I'm fully into it now.
This is wonderful. I can't wait to get to today's episode. Last podcast on the left, I am Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks. We have Henry Zebrowski in full just... Man, you're into it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like he adopts anything that's put in front of him, like Scientology.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yes. I know, I'm starting to slowly absorb it. I just have it. I kind of have that ability because Al-Satru, as we'll talk about it, is a very provocative religion. It's Al-Satru.
All right, we're on to Norwegian Black Metal Part 2.
So around the same time that Euronymous opened up his record shop, Helvete, a young man from Bergen on the west coast of Norway named Varg Vikernes showed up on the scene.
Oh, God. Prepare to be exhausted.
I like Varg Vikernes. He sounds like a kicker. Like an unbelievable NFL kicker.
He does sound like the least talented person on an NFL football, like a team. Yeah.
So Varg, born Christian Larsen Vikernes, had spent part of his childhood in the Middle East, where his father had worked for Saddam Hussein, developing computer programs to manipulate Iraq's economy.
His father was Donald Rumsfeld.
Yes.
No way it wasn't.
Now, unlike a lot of these black metal guys who came from fairly liberal backgrounds, Varg's parents were both, and still are, avowed racists. Hmm. But that still didn't stop him from getting upset with Varg when he started getting into Nazi shit at about the age of 15.
Varg, what are you doing? Varg, put the helmets down. Varg, stop trying to put all of the dogs into that weird chicken fence construction that you've made in the backyard.
It's tough being a parent. You never know what you're going to get, you know? What's your kid going to be like?
But you see, mother, I only put the dogs with the black hair into the chicken wire. No, Varg, you don't understand. The problem is not what type of dogs you put in there. It's the fact that they are dogs in there at all.
Norwegian parenting, never easy.
Varg said the reason why he liked the Germans were because they looked sharp, they killed Americans, whom Varg hated, and they had better weapons.
Is that true, though?
They had pretty good weapons, yeah. The Luger's a fine pistol.
All right.
They had a big gun. They had UFO technology.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They were zip-zopping around, scaring the fucking Hildefolk, scaring the countryside. They knew that weird shit was going on. They had they had true contact with Vril energy, which these guys have not, like, they've been searching for.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, like, Varg, he was obsessed with these weapons. For some reason, neo-Nazis are obsessed with weapons.
Yeah.
They talk about weapons.
Well, you know
the
reason.
Why?
The world domination portion of their ideology.
I think. Also, I think it's probably got something to do with lack of pleasing a woman.
That's possible.
So at about 14, Varg started playing guitar. And by 17, he had joined a band called Old Funeral.
Hell yeah.
Which is, honestly, that's just a normal funeral. Like, old young funeral is kind of edgy, sort of sad. Old funeral is just like, it was a long life, a healthy life. Baker for 50 years.
Welcome to Baby Funeral.
See, Baby Funeral, that's the name for a band.
Baby Funeral. Boy Funeral. Is
any funeral that doesn't rely on the actual normal decay of the human body.
Old Funeral also sounds like what my father used to suck down before going into work.
Just a bunch of oysters with cigarette ash on top of them.
Eventually, Varg left Old Funeral. This is the reason why.
These guys were just interested in eating. They didn't care about my sawed-off shotgun or my dynamite or any of these things. They were just interested in hamburgers and food. Yeah. They had absolutely no interest in the weapons that I liked.
Hey, Varg, that's a really cool sawed-off shotgun, but have you seen the new burrito bowl over at Taco Bell?
You do not understand. Will the burrito bowls kill your friends? Over years, maybe, yes. With your corporization, your McDonald's, your horrible Americanization. That's what you do, sucking down your hamburgers. Here, sawed off shotgun. It is got, oh, you know, there's nothing American about this. It's just like the film Reservoir Dogs.
I might have to agree with Varg on this one. A band that just talks about food called Old Funeral. It just sounds like everyone sits around sort of like waiting to get gout and just doesn't, I mean, what do you do with these people?
No, we're going to see this conflict a lot in black metal in general, where it's like they don't like normal teenager fun things. They all criticize each other for wanting to go get laid instead of and eat food and hang out and smoke fucking cigarettes and drink beers and have a great time because you're in a band, you're touring everywhere, right. You're making friends everywhere. All he wants to do is talk about the fucking revolution. Being like, I don't give a shit about your stupid revolution. I'm trying to see tits.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they said about Euronymous from Mayhem's, like, he just hung around the record store eating kebabs and drinking Coca-Cola all day. We wanted to burn churches.
All right. Well, each their own.
What about the hamburger thing? I mean, to bring Please Kill Me back into it, you know, Please Kill Me is like an oral history of punk in the 1970s in New York City. Dee Dee Ramone talked about hamburgers most of the time.
Hamburgers were big at the time.
Hamburgers
were
hungry.
They were starving. The Ramones came from the street, and so they finally got a chance to just liberally buy burgers at any point. They were super jazzed about it.
They didn't come from the street. They came from Queens.
Well, which is on a street. There are streets in Queens.
Yeah, well, I'm out there. Oh, hey. That's my city, my blood.
I mean, I like that conversation. This is before Food Network. This is before Guy Fieri, Triple D.
Oh, no, don't you
this
say
is good stuff,
that
though.
The Ramones were the first Guy Fieri. They were
the Ramones
Food
were the Guy
stars.
Fieri's of music. Loving food. Flavortown, out of bounds.
Welcome to Flavortown. deep gravy. It's gravy.
Oh, man, I'm getting hungry.
Now, after Old Funeral, Varg left the weapons and even the Nazi shit temporarily and moved on to role-playing games because all the older boys were getting into spellcasting.
Oh, my goodness.
And role-playing took Varg to two places, occultism and fantasy, particularly Lord of the Rings.
It took him to one place, everyone's grandparents' basement. That's where it took him.
Technically, in the end, what this could have done for Varg is make him the coolest man on the face of the planet. Because I know several people that started life very early doing role-playing games. And I'm not going to put even myself on that list.
I think that you are putting yourself on that list.
I am just saying that there's a lot of kids out there that started role-playing games at 8, 9 years old that have blossomed into successful, creative, loving people that added positive things to life.
What about Barb?
What about Barb?
That's what I want to know.
My big question on today's episode is, what about Varg?
What about Varg?
What about Varg?
What about Varg?
Well, Lord of the Rings in particular is where the name of one of the most influential black metal bands of all time, Varg's one-man project, Burzum, comes from.
Burzum.
His original name for Burzum was Uruk-hai. Now, in case you don't know, Ben, you may not know this.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you're fucking you're uneducated.
Because
you weren't a part of the cool kids club like I was. Yeah, you're a reject.
Well, I do have to say, we were mostly practicing Bret Hart sharpshooter and the figure four in the basement, so I don't know who was more nerdy growing up, but mine had more physical pain involved.
I will say mine had more writing and dice rolling, and yours had more sexual play with other boys.
Well, if you looked at it through a certain lens, I suppose you could see it that way.
Well, the Uruk-hai, this is for you, Ben. The Uruk-hai were created by Sauron late in the Third Age.
From Lord of the Rings.
And in the War of the Ring, the Uruk-hai made up a large part of Saruman's army, together with the Dunlendings, man enemies of Rohan.
They were man enemies.
Oh, I see.
Well, yeah, there's orc enemies and man enemies. Oh. For the Dunlendings had sided against the rest of man in the war for the One Ring.
Oh, my. I'm just so flat. I need a hit of my inhaler after hearing all of that. I'm flabbergasted.
Now, these people, the orcs and Sauron, they were the people that Varg identified with, the bad guys. And he despised the heroes in Lord of the Rings. He said, quote,
I hate dwarves. and elves. The elves are fair, but typically Jewish.
But they're not.
Well, this barely makes sense in the context of the Lord of the Rings series.
Well, apparently, if you read the Silmarillion, the elves also have a traditional wedding dance that has a bunch of people lifting people on chairs.
I don't know. Well, that doesn't sound like an old funeral to me.
Well, that's a joke. But in the context of the Lord of the Rings series, as it actually is, the Silmarillion suggests that the orcs were actually descendants of the East Elves who were captured by Melkor and warped into the foul creatures in service of Sauron. So really, his whole metaphor about the elves being too Jewish and him worshiping the orcs doesn't work at all.
Now, where does Liv Tyler come into this? Because I thought she was wonderful in those movies.
All the guys in the band, all they wanted to say is, ooh, I wish I could bang Liv Tyler, queen of the elves. Please put me in the forever place with Liv Tyler. Wouldn't that be amazing? And I said, no, put me in Mordor. That's where everything is cool is happening. Give me a King Kong arcade game. That's the one American thing I like. And you put it in the main hall of Mordor next to the bathroom so I don't have to wait behind all those stinky orcs. So I can play my game and use the bathroom freely as a free man.
Orc bathroom. That sounds more disgusting than Woodstock 99. The orc bathroom situation. I don't ever want to think about it again.
And even that's a better name for a band than Old Funeral. Orc Bathroom.
Orc Bathroom's a great name for a band.
Orc Bathroom's a good name for a fucking band.
Yes.
That's pretty sweet.
Orc Urinal.
It could be that Varg himself put two and two together just like I did, and so he changed the name to Burzum.
Okay.
Now, Burzum comes from the inscription on the One Ring, which reads... Ashnaz Durbatuluk Ashnaz Gimbatul Ashnaz Thrakatuluk Agborzum Ishi Krimpatul.
If you summon a demon in this room, man, I am going to be pissed. I've got so much to do today. I cannot be fighting a dark lord.
The only thing he has summoned is a 375-pound man who's about to knock on the door of the studio and go, excuse me, actually, it's pronounced Ashnazgadrupatuluk, Ashnazgimbatu.
Well, that is the dark tongue of Mordor. And it means...
One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the Burzum, bind them. It's nerd church.
It is nerd church, and I wish I had one of Varg's sawed-off shotguns right now.
Of course, the word for darkness is Burzum.
Oh. See? Kissel, even you learn today.
I am learning. I learn every day. Every day I learn something new.
But that isn't even the nerdiest thing about Varg's
That's
adoption.
That's not the nerdiest thing?
That is not the nerdiest thing about his adoption of Tolkien terminology. For his black metal name, Varg took the name Grishnak after the orc captain from Barad-dûr who tried to eat Merry and Pippin but was killed by Treebeard.
Oh.
But that's the thing. It's like when Natalie and I watch nature videos together, she always gets sad when that coyote eats or the cheetah eats. And I'm like, but no, that animal's got to eat too.
That animal, of
course. Yeah, I root for the orc eating the hobbits because he's got to eat.
I love the trees. When I watched the movie, I rooted
tree
for
beard.
The,
oh,
I love the trees.
I wonder why.
Tall and they protect people, and they're nice, and they're not mean like little people are, like you.
Which you seem like you would just maybe go with one specific tree named Bent, which is a tree that just sits off to the side just getting hammered and telling all the trees what to do.
That would be a great tree.
So I guess we are firmly in the camp. Ben is an Ent, Henry is, of course, a hobbit, and I would be an elf.
Oh, okay, so
because
you're with
tall,
the bow.
I am tall and fair.
So are you a part of the elvish cabal that runs the media and our government?
Interesting.
Well, if just the Grishnak wasn't enough to be nerdy, he went ahead and added a title to go along with it, and so Count Grishnak was born.
Yes.
What the hell makes him a count?
Well, he said that count he actually took it from the Latin word comtus, which means like of the people or some shit like that.
I see.
So he was like, I am a count. So of course people took it to be like some Dracula evil bullshit. It is typical that they would do that and not look at the Latin roots of the word.
Yeah.
We'll just call himself a comtus because that's a funnier name as well.
Well, comtus
is a little more rock and roll.
Comtus sounds like a lovely woman like a Mia Khalifa.
Khalifa. You know what I mean? She's a real cumptus, like a royalty of cum. Mm. But he would do the thing too very often, as we'll talk about the further on. He would blame stuff on the count. Like, he would say stuff of being like, well, that's something that the Count would say. That's not something that Varg would say.
Yeah.
Because he also changed his name Varg. He changed his name to from Christian to Varg anyway. So he made he has several different personas inside of himself. And later, Varg is really what I'm going to say is the YouTube generation of Count Krishna.
Varg. Count Grishnuk.
Now, probably not surprisingly, Varg is not alone in the metal world in taking his name from Lord of the Rings. And honestly, most of these bands that take their name from Lord of the Rings references are pretty fucking awesome. Like Morgoth, Cirith Ungol, Cirith Gorgor, Amon Amarth, who's fucking great,
ooh,
and Gorgoroth.
Think about the amount of money that Old Spice could make making a black metal series of deodorants.
I don't know if they wear deodorant, though.
Cirith Ungol. You don't wear deodorant?
I don't think that they do wear deodorant.
These guys?
The black metal community, they want to be, they want to have a full essence about them.
But that's what, you make it smell like blood, you make it smell like dog shit, you make it smell like rotting corpse.
I'm pretty sure that Axe already smells like all of those things.
You Kissel.
Classic hot take on modern day spray deodorants. Ben Kissel, come here to Last Podcast on the Left for his hot takes on odor repellents.
I'll tell you something about it, after five or six of these BS. That's what I call Bud Lights. This Axe body spray starts tasting pretty good.
You're spraying it in your mouth, huh?
Yep. You told me to review it. Oh, it burns. Oh, it burns.
So let's get back to Varg. With the arrival of Burzum on the black metal scene, what Euronymous referred to as the Norwegian Black Circle was complete. And the shit-talking and one-upping that would eventually lead to arson and murder got kicked into high speed.
The Norwegian Black Circle is also, if I was a doctor, what I would call colon cancer. I just want to pull that. Just want to put
you've
that
got a black circle in your gut, Mr. Kissel, that is the size of a, I got to say, a honeydew melon. I'm trying to find new fruits to compare tumors to.
Now, when Varg arrived on the scene, Euronymous was the de facto figurehead, as he owned the central meeting place of Helvetia. In fact, Varg sometimes lived in the basement of the store when he was visiting Oslo. And at first, the two got along great. Along with opening the record store, Euronymous had also started his own label, Deathlike Silence Productions.
Deathlike?
Deathlike Silence, yeah.
But what's so, yeah, what is that like?
Like death. Like, because Deathlike Silence means, because when someone's dead, they're right. Silent, except for when they start farting, because sometimes the body farts, and then sometimes also the air will come up out of their lungs, and they'll go,
Or when you felch it, like we've talked about before.
Yeah.
But Deathlike Silence is also kind of fun, because it's ironic, because they're anything but silent.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Because it's music.
Right, so it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Okay.
They were originally called Poser Corpse.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Now, I think the name Poser Corpse tells you quite a bit about the attitude of the scene, especially with what was going to come later on. These people were obsessed with being authentic, being true, as they called
true
it.
True cult.
True cult.
It's got to be, you have to be true cult.
Yeah, true cult.
That's what it means.
Yeah, and most importantly, they were obsessed with being evil. And after while.
But at some point, when you're so obsessed with being evil, you just become super lame, right?
Well, yeah,
yes.
Of course.
Okay.
But that's well, that's what these guys were doing, is that after a while, it wasn't enough to just look weird, hang out in a dark room, pay for by your parents, and throw pig's heads out in the audience at shows. Eventually, in order to set yourself apart from what you think of as trend fans, you actually have to put your talk into action.
Okay.
And that's kind of what where we should learn here. This is a learning moment. This is a teaching moment of enjoy the journey, not just the destination. You know what I mean? The trip is the journey.
Right.
It's not just getting there. So enjoy it, all right? Just have some fun living in Euronymous's mother's record store.
Sure.
While you're sitting there playing with heads. And guess what? Some of those heads, you know what you could do with them? Toss them in an oven. Cover them in olive oil and some black pepper and some salt liberally. You toss it in there for about 350, 3 hours, pig head in there. You get that. You get the fat to start to render on the cheeks of it. You shave it off in there. Ooh, get that porchetta. You can suck all the meat out of all the crevices of the skull. It's so juicy. It's filled with fat. Brain is nothing but fat.
It sounds like you're a member of, what was the name of that band that just talked about food?
Huh?
What's the name of the band that just talked about food?
I don't know.
Old Funeral. Sounds like you're a member of Old Funeral right now.
Yes.
Well, the funny thing about all that evil talk is that it actually came from a very Christian place. Now, these guys' brands of Satanism was not Levian, but was actually closer to what's known as theistic Satanism, meaning they saw Satan as an actual real entity.
Which just means that they were sad, because in the end, because that's why they gave so much shit to LaVey, and they didn't like Anton LaVey because, again, he was out there using Satanism as a way to kind of have fun and express himself, because what we now know is modern American LaVeyan Satanism is that it's a political stance a lot of the times, and a lot of times it's really just about what we've talked about on the show before. It's a funny form of atheism where they really just felt that if they were evil enough, they could end the world, yeah. Or at least they just acted like it to each other. And so Varg and Euronymous had a shit-talking competition where they probably got along with how much other shit that they hated in common, huh. And then eventually grew to fact being like, maybe we could just summon Satan. And be like, do you think maybe if we clap our hands hard enough, if we just want it enough, if we could really just put it all out there on the microphone, that we could summon Satan? I think so. I support you, Euronymous.
So it's like a black metal version of a roast battle, but regarding religion.
Yes.
So they really did believe that Jesus was a real person at one point, yeah. And was still the Lord and Savior and all that stuff.
Well, this theistic brand of Satanism says that both God and Satan are very real, though they are locked in an eternal battle of good and evil. The twist is that the black metal dudes were fighting on the side of evil, in league with Satan, as it were.
So which one is Elijah Wood fighting for?
Elijah Wood is fighting for, I guess, God.
All right. Good to know.
Now, ironically, their belief in Satan actually made them more Christian than the majority of Norwegians. Out of the entire population of Norway, only 2-3% regularly attend church services, wow. Despite Protestantism being the country's official religion.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, there's a saying they talk about in Lords of Chaos. There's a saying that Norwegians go to church three times in their life, and the first and third time they're carried in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when they do something really good, and the whole town folks, they love them, and they say, celebration, you killed the beast.
Now, the black metal guys definitely explored evil the way they saw it in other ways. Euronymous, according to Varg, figured about the evilest thing you could do to spit in the face of God would be to have anal sex with another dude.
Hey, Varg, come here, man. Hey, you know, wouldn't it just be like the most evil, like crazy thing in the world to do, right? We do this thing, right? Me and another dude, right? We go out to like a movie, right? And we see a movie and we laugh a lot. You know, we get some popcorn together and we're here together. And then we go get some beers, right? And we're just drinking lots and lots of beers, just slapping each other on the lower back, touching each other's knees and stuff. And God is up going like, oh, stop it, Euronymous, you stop it. And then I go back to the apartment with him and I put on some Al Green, you know? And it's been like, do, dun, 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 ha. And he's sitting there and he's removing his shirt, and God is up there being like, oh, you do this, oh, what am I going to do? And uh-oh. Then we fuck each other, and then we stay together for 15-25 years.
Well, that is one way to spit in the face of God.
Yeah, this is what Varg said.
Because in the Bible, it says that you shall not let sperm fall to the ground. And we reasoned that if you shoved it up someone's ass into the sewer, then that's the worst thing you can do. That's Satanism. And Euronymous has said, yes, very loud.
Did he called it the sewer?
The sewer, yeah. He's like, into the sewer.
Into the sewer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but the whole, like...
I will say that's not the term to use when having foreplay.
Sewer?
Yeah.
Stick it in my sewer?
Honestly, though, you hit the right person. The right person will really like that, because they can connect it to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and it's
perhaps.
Like, my butthole is where they live. It's where Leonardo lives.
Right.
Well, all of this homosexual talk, this was going a little too far for Varg, who is a well-known homophobe along with the likes of Hellhammer. And they seem to have a justification for hating every other group, but it seems like gay people, like a lot of homophobes,
it just makes them feel a little bit icky.
They don't like the feelings that it makes them feel because maybe kind of deep down inside they wish they could kiss another man.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the fact that Varg feels icky about anything is hilarious
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. They just don't like it. It's like, ugh, these gay. And we'll get much more into that in the next episode and how that attitude actually led to murder.
Okay.
Now, Varg also said that Euronymous was into pretty much anything involving extreme sex acts, from child pornography to snuff films featuring dildos covered in nails and labias being hammered down to tables.
But as we know, right, one thing is snuff films are total complete horseshit.
They probably exist at like the highest levels of wealth and decadence, but I seriously doubt a dead-ass broke musician running a record store in Oslo could get a hold of one.
No. You need to be invited to a Bilderberg meeting in order to get one. And then also, you could just see that being total horseshit, covering the fact that Euronymous was just a normal gay guy, that he's hanging out with Varg, and they're just talking shit about everybody. Like, Euronymous is talking shit about Hellhammer. He's talking shit about Dead. He's talking shit about the entire scene. He's talking shit about Mayhem. And the entire time going to Varg being like, you get it. You get it just like me. And Varg is, for a while, kind of playing along, because what he is interested in, I think at this point, specifically when he met Euronymous, he's like, I'm going to destroy Euronymous. I should be the center of the black metal scene. Meanwhile, Euronymous is sort of weirdly bathing in all of this attention. And what apparently also the Varg got really upset with is that Euronymous he really loved crop tops. And he would wear these crop top shirts. And Varg would be like, he's sitting there and he's watching his disgusting fat belly just hanging over his black pants. And I just couldn't watch it wobble anymore.
Huh. All right, like the Blue Meanie. Remember that? Great wrestler.
Now, there is some debate as to who really introduced the evil brand of Satanism into the black metal scene. Ooh. Some say it was Varg, some say it was Euronymous, but as Henry pointed out, and as it's pointed out in Lords of Chaos, what's most likely is these guys were just egging each other on, and shit got way out of hand very, very fast.
Yeah.
They realized, especially after Dead Suicide, that if they just kept it to talk and never actually did anything, they would slowly lose their street cred and become nothing more than a joke. And if there's one thing, quote unquote, evil hates more than anything, it's being laughed at.
Ooh, don't laugh at him.
That's all we do. That's our job.
Job.
I'm not laughing at him. I'm not laughing at Varg. I'm not going to do that.
This got sent to several black metal bands. The last episode did.
It did get sent to many
bands. But we're fans of the music. I just want to go to the concerts.
Yeah, I think they have more of a sense of humor now.
There are definitely some black metal bands that were very into it. We apparently angered a few black metal bands quite a bit.
No, I don't think that's possible.
That's all right. It's on brand.
You can't
for them.
Anger black metal bands. They're a fun-loving bunch.
And so since these guys decided they needed to put their words into practice, the church burnings began.
Ooh.
Now, it all started with just a little vandalism and theft at a church where the guys stole a bunch of goblets and crosses and shit to decorate their record store with.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, churches are filled with really cool things. That's kind of on the church.
It would be kind of cool to drink, like, out of one of the chalices that the priest has, and then every once in a while just dip my balls in it.
You know, there's a bone in all of the Catholic Church. They all have a saint's bone in the main table.
Really?
That's dark stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Cool.
Then, right around the time of a Morbid Angel show in late 1991, there was a rash of cemetery desecrations.
Ooh.
Then, on Saturday, June 6th, 1992, the sixth day of the sixth month of the sixth day of the week. A group of black metal scenesters, strongly suspected to be led by Varg, set fire to Fantoft Church, 5 miles south of Bergen, destroying a structure that had stood for over 800 years.
Wow.
Now, why do I feel that if you have a bunch of Norwegians following somebody in a forest, it has to be led by flute?
It must
be. Why do I feel like you have to go do in order to get Norwegians to do anything as a group? Like with a pump, 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 pump. Like somebody with a big tuba and like a people like running next door with like a big stick with like streamers on it for a pagan thing.
I almost started marching when you were doing that, Henry. Absolutely. Maybe I got a little Norwegian blood in me.
I don't know. I think it's just, it's It's like when we were in Scotland, and you remember they started playing that fiddle music and
I
we
had
all
to dance. My knees started hitting my belly button.
Yeah,
I was jerking.
Yeah, I had that same thing walking through Grand Central yesterday. There was a woman playing like jaunty fiddle, and it heartened me.
It's unbelievable. What is it? What is it with being white and fiddle music? It just, you have to move.
According to an interview Varr gave, before the group burned the church, they chased down a rabbit, which he said was actually more difficult than burning down the church.
Well, no kidding. The rabbit's moving. The church is just sitting there for 800 years.
They then decapitated the bunny and laid the body on the church steps. Varr said, quote,
"The point was to spread more sorrow. It was like when I was the first person to ruin the ending of Sixth Sense for all of Norway."
Oh, poor bunny.
A month later, Revheim Church went down. Then, a month after that, Ormoya burned. Then Skjold. Then Helketo. Then Esene. Then came Sarpsborg, which was the site of the first true casualty of the black metal scene.
Oh, no. So no more, not just having fun anymore.
No. No. This is when shit gets actually real.
Okay.
There, a firefighter lost his life trying to put out a fire that these dickhead kids started because life was fucking too good in Norway. Mm. And it is a damn shame that this guy is largely forgotten when people cover this story. This shit had very real life consequences. Like, you know, like, leave out the part where they're destroying beautiful historical art. They're destroying historical landmarks. This shit is dangerous. It is killing people.
And rabbits.
You see, being on brand, I don't care about churches being burnt, but I do understand that there's a part of it being like, you're destroying centers of communities, which is really fucked up. And because in the end, it's kind of interesting when you do the breakdown of stave churches anyways, a lot of times they're built in the formation of the serpent. As it is, they have dragon heads.
They're
They've
cool.
got scales on the side of it, purposely built, and so they're very metal. It's actually like, I mean, I will say, you're like looking at them. I also understand how the burning church makes a great album cover, but it's, you know, it's bad in reality.
Yeah, churches are beautiful buildings. Some of the best buildings in the entire world are created because of religion.
Yeah,
and you can do anything with them. You can turn them into a bed and breakfast if you really want to.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that you could just, it's actually, for me, way more metal to buy the church and flip it into the new Helvetta record store. See, that would be pretty sweet.
And you can just keep all of the art in there. The Catholic Church, when they do the Stations of the Cross, it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's very brutal. I remember that growing up.
Now, it's hard to say just how many church burnings the Norwegian Black Circle was responsible for, but it's estimated that as of 1998, they were the cause of about a third of all church arsons in Norway. However,
What were the other two-thirds? How many church arsons were happening in Norway?
Well, the thing is about church, the thing is about arsonists is that churches are actually very popular targets for arsonists because they're empty, they're out of the way, and most of the time, arsonists aren't looking to kill anybody.
They're getting a sexual pleasure out of watching it burn. A part of it's about the chaos, and that's kind of what they try to actually analyze these guys, saying that, well, maybe they got some pleasure out of it, but I think a lot of the times they were goading each other.
Yeah.
It was this thing where it was this top game where someone had to do something, and you had Varg stoking the flames, good, like literally, like out there, like making everybody do it. But then you have all these copycat crimes happening at the same time, because as soon as it starts happening, it's like what we talked about with the Zodiac Killer, when there's a bunch of crimes in Son of Sam. When shit's already happening, it's much easier to throw other crimes in the mix because it's harder to investigate them.
It just seems like they're only one third of the church burnings, and they're really making a big deal out of it. Like they're the two thirds of the church burnings, but the two-thirds of the church-burning people are actually more metal than they are.
Well, that number could actually be higher.
Really?
Out of 44 church burnings from 1992 to 1995, every single case solved involved a black metal fan or musician in one way or another. And amazingly,
it's a lot of churches.
It's a lot of churches, yeah. And amazingly, none of this shit was organized. It was all spur of the moment, let's go out and do it right now type of shit. I mean, it wasn't like they had like a cemetery division or like a church burning committee.
Yeah.
All this shit just happened.
There was no hashtag trending on Twitter, burn down the churches or anything like that. No,
that would be controversial.
That would be controversial.
Honestly, there would be a lot of think pieces that would come out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, according to Lords of Chaos, as we said, the vast majority of people who burn down churches are your regular run-of-the-mill jerk-off arsonists who get a sexual thrill from seeing a building burn down. But one of the reasons why Norway is special as opposed to a lot of other Scandinavian countries is that Norway has a large number of stave churches.
Okay.
Now, stave churches are medieval structures made of wood, of course, making them highly flammable, much more flammable than a lot of the stone churches that you see around Europe.
Right.
So not only do you have a structure that is almost guaranteed to burn, you also have in stave churches a powerful symbol for the black metal community, namely the replacement of Norse mythology with Christianity that occurred in Scandinavia in medieval times.
The erasing of their culture, the rolling of stone over blood, Kissel. The way you look at me, it's
happening?
Like you don't understand the struggle of the Germanic people, which at the same time, according to your skin and hair and eyes, you most certainly do.
I have red hair and brown eyes. What's going on here? So these guys are just being dumpy kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, they're drunk the whole time. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, a lot of them are drunk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's how you spurn yourself to do the crimes. They're sitting in Helvetia. They're killing a 24 case of Breaking Brock. I don't know what a Norwegian beer is.
I have no
is.
Idea. Yeah,
all
that's tough
sudden,
to say.
They're getting just motivated to go outside and be like, because again, the Germanic people, I just recently rewatched The Bride of Frankenstein. They love getting into groups. And with
torches. I don't know if Bride of Frankenstein is the greatest example of the Germanic people.
Yeah, I think all those were Americans that were playing those people.
No. Truer than true.
See, for these guys, some of them were burning churches just for the sake of it to be evil. Others were burning them to prove themselves, to show that they were worthy of being a part of a scene. But others were burning the churches in a symbolic act of revenge. Their motive was to erase Christianity completely from Scandinavia, and particularly Norway. And the man at the forefront of that sect was Varg Vikernes.
Varg.
Varg wanted to return Norway to the spirituality of his ancestors before Christianity arrived, that of Odin and Thor.
Actually, it's Othin.
Is it Othin or is it Vodun or Voken or what is it? They don't have, no one agrees on this stuff.
I think it's Odin.
Can a man or a woman contain pantheons? I'll tell you what, Dogmeat, I believe they can. Each one is many, and each many is one.
Gah.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Al Sutra.
Well, according to Varg, that first church burning actually had nothing to do with 666 Satan. That was just a bonus. What it really had to do with was on June 6th in the year 793, one of the first Viking raids in history occurred in Britain at Lindisfarne, where Vikings plundered a monastery and murdered some monks in the style that Vikings were known for.
It's fucking sweet.
It's not
imagine
sweet.
If Vikings had
it's
fucking
just,
guitars.
I'm
it's just
for a monk. I think the monks should have gone all Shaolin on him and tried to beat him. But,
yeah, that would,
but they didn't, I guess.
What a cool movie that would be, monks versus Vikings.
Yeah.
And the monks got Shaolin, but all the Vikings got double fucking axe blades.
Yeah.
And they're spinning back and forth. And then one of them's got like, he came from the future, so he's got a gun, but it's got a fucking like a harpoon axe in it. And he shoots it at a Shaolin monk, and he's like, whoa! And he fucking kicks it into the face of like a man who's got half a face because he's got metal eyes.
Yeah. Next time we're pitching the show for Last Podcast on the Left, just do that. Just say that.
If the pitch is going,
if it's derailed, just pitch that movie, and I think we got ourselves a screenplay.
Now, related to that, the church in Fantoft held a specific significance in the war between Norse paganism and Christianity. Fantoft's cross had purposely been built on a Norse altar of worship known as a horg.
A horg?
Horg.
Yes.
Like hog, but with an R put in there.
Oh.
Also, that is also a Norwegian for ex-girlfriend.
A horg. Interesting.
Varg has been quoted as saying,
basically, I am a worshipper of Othin, god of war and death. Bursum exists exclusively for Othin, the one-eyed enemy of the Christian god.
I don't know about this Varg guy. I'm starting to think he's kind of a D-bag.
I'll tell you, Kissel. why don't you go ahead and spend about the 2.5 hours that I spent watching Varg's personal blogs on YouTube, which we will talk about even more so in the next episode.
I did.
And it's sort of like, it is like being trapped in a carpool to work with the IT guy, and then you find out that he has a lot of opinions about ethno-nationalism and why bodybuilding is bad and the ways that you should eat and having white babies, and you have to hear it again and again and again with the same, he talks like this, it's just like, and today we'll talk about, it's like, is Varg a white supremacist? Let's find out. He's the begins every YouTube video just like that.
Every single one.
He has a little thesis statement, and then he says, let's find out.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Interesting guy.
Oh, yeah.
In no way did I want to hang him out of the window like Suge Knight did to Vanilla Ice.
Well, Varg is a follower of Asatru.
Al-Satru.
Whatever.
It's an Asatru.
Al-Satru.
It's Asatru.
Well, that means, loosely, belief in the old gods. Mm. It's a paganistic way of worship that focuses on the polytheistic pantheon of the Norse gods, as well as a great reverence for nature.
Honestly, it's a very beautiful, it's kind of a beautiful religion in terms of, like, there's cool imagery in it, right? Because it's kind of based on this concept of the tree of life, which is all reality as we know it, and that there's the tree, and then there's the well of Mirir, which is, like, you basically put all of your karma, all of your present deeds go in there, and it's basically like your spiritual bank account. Things pop out of it, and then all the gods are fucking awesome, like Woden or Othin, whatever. He's like psychedelic.
No.
Like he popped out his own eye and he threw it into the well of Mirir in order to get true wisdom, and then he hung himself upon the tree of wisdom. And what does that even fucking mean? Because that's just reality itself. He did it for 9 days and survived, and came out with the power of the runes, which are called seeds of the earth. And you go out there and he could create all reality. He fucking went all the way there and back. And then you got Thor, who's super cool, super friendly, but he's super aggressive. And then you've got
got a nerd alert.
I'm interested. I want to hear this.
This is
stuff.
A religious nerd alert, as a matter of fact, an extra nerd alert.
Is it nerdy that Othin has two wolves, Gary and Freki?
Yes,
and
it
then
is.
He has two ravens, Hugin and Munin.
I almost vomited it, but yes, it is all nerd.
And they all get along, but I get Hugin is the dumb one, and Munin is the smart, snarky one. And then Gary's the sweet one.
And they
one.
Put their rings together and they summon Captain Planet, and a lot of fun things happen.
The problem is, again, Al-Satru ends up turning into some sort of racist religion because it's by the people that practice it, because it's very much about, like, being proud of being from Norway and how, like, the most beautiful thing you've ever seen is like a sparsely tree-covered hill covered with graves and snow.
It becomes racist and anti-Semitic and white nationalist because it's created by human beings who are racist, anti-Semitic, white nationalists.
No, it wasn't created by people that were racist and anti-Semitic.
They're
and
all racist.
No, they're not.
In the beginning, it was not.
I want to see their record albums.
No, in the very beginning, it was not.
It's one of the oldest religions in the entire world. It's one of those things that got taken and made into a racist
thing.
But that does not make it inherently racist just because it was co-opted by racist people.
Okay. Which ruins it. It inherently has a us versus them mentality built into it, because this idea that nobody respects nature the way the followers of Al-Satru does, which actually makes it work perfectly for the metal world. Because metal fans, more than any other group, especially black metal, like the people that practice it, are so much us versus them, it's crazy. Like, it's very, like, because they believe that they're their own army and they need to wage a evil war against everyone else. We'll be like, no, man, just bridge the gap. Help bring black metal to America. It would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm just saying, why'd they kill the rabbit?
Why are you?
All right. That's good. Never mind. I'm going to let it go.
You're just being stubborn.
I'm not being stubborn. I'm asking why they killed the rabbit.
Well, but you can't take the actions of a couple of dickheads in 1994 and completely throw away a religion that's been around for 40,000 years.
I love it.
I do believe that they should change. In the end, I don't think anything should be around for thousands of years without changing. At some point, you got to change it. But the problem is you have the two people. What the coolest part about Al-Satru is all the fucking the emblems.
Oh, the symbolism.
All the cool talismans.
Yeah,
and all the fucking, every story in Alcestruth should be a fucking comic book. They're fucking awesome. The story of like Tyr, Fate, and facing Fenris the wolf is sweet.
They did. It's called Thor. That's what Thor is.
No.
Oh yeah, there's a movie coming out. There's a second movie or third movie coming out.
And then Freya, who's nude all the time. And then Frey, who's the god of the fertility, and his cock is so big and long that they had to build him with statues. They didn't want to show his cock, so they put a towel over it. Kind of like when you do, like, when you, like, trick your girlfriend when you have a hard on, you put, like, a little, like, washcloth over him, and you're like, hey, look what's here, you know? And then they do that with all the statues until later on to the 80s, so they started building new statues of Frey. And his cock is like 12 inches long, and they like that.
Well, the other funny thing about these black metal guys is that, yes, they were taking on Christianity because it had destroyed their places of worship and it tried to erase their gods from their national identity. But the other reason why they treated Christianity with such disdain is because they saw it as weak. They thought that Christianity wasn't brutal enough anymore. They wanted to return to the days of the Inquisition, when people would be tortured to death with implements like the anal pear and the Spanish donkey.
The Iron Maiden, yes. What's this? Oh, the Spanish donkey. Yeah, that's a brutal one.
Oh, yeah, the Spanish donkey.
What's in two?
Yeah, the Spanish donkey is the kind of like triangle that has like a sharpened edge on it. Yeah. And they put you ride the triangle and they put weights down on your feet and it slowly splits you in half.
Ooh. See, there's nothing Spanish to me about that. When I see Spanish, I think of taking a nap at 4 p.m. and eating a bunch of olives and octopus.
Having fun. That's not torture at all.
Well, the black metal guys believe that by burning churches, they would make Christianity stronger, which would cause the Satanists to strike back again, and that small conflict would start a war that would annihilate the world.
But in the end, they did this for PR. Yeah. They did this to bump their numbers. Varg realized that. Varg was very canny. The move to Alcestruth, in my mind, from Satanism, was him understanding of there's a gap here that I can basically do what PR companies are doing now in the United States of America and attach an ideology to people buying records. And if I can attach like this kind of this lifestyle to our work and what we do, then that's going to make our audience super loyal. He's right. Very, like, that's what he did. So that's where all of this came from. That's what makes him technically, to me, more evil, is that he did all this shit to move some units.
Yeah, for branding reasons.
Oh, yeah. And it did definitely spread into fandom. On July 26, 1992, a house belonging to Christopher Johnson, lead singer of the death metal band Therion, was set on fire following an argument with the Count. And the fire was put out before any real damage could be done, but investigators found a note. It said,
"The Count is here, and he will come back."
Shortly after, Johnson received a longer letter which read,
"Hello, victim. This is Count Grushnak of Bursum. I have just come home from a journey to Sweden, and I think I lost a match and a signed Bursum LP. Ha-ha. Perhaps I will make a return trip soon, and maybe this time you won't wake up in the middle of the night. I will give you a lesson in fear. We are really mentally deranged. Our methods are death and torture. Our victims will die slowly. They must die slowly so that we can leave, because we run slowly."
All right, so he's going through his kind of Lisa Left Eye Lopez phase when she burnt down Andre Rison's house. Interesting. This is very aggressive stuff.
But it wasn't him. It was an 18-year-old girl named Suvi.
It wasn't him.
It wasn't him. She was just looking for the Count's favor. And when they asked her why she had done this, she said,
"I did it on a mission for our leader, the Count. I love the Count. His fantasies are the best."
Oh, my. So, I mean, that's sad thing is Varg is the smart one.
Yeah.
And then they just get dumber and dumber as the followers go. Where it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
It's very similar to any white supremacist movement where the smart ones are on top and the dumb ones are on bottom. It's like, that's kind of what he did, is that he basically was just like, I'll use all of these idiots as chess pieces because they're going to want to look as cool as me, which is sad.
There are no smart white supremacists. By nature, by definition, they are stupid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, for her troubles, they locked her up in a mental institution for 2 years.
Oh.
But that's not to say that these guys weren't burning down a shitload of churches. They were definitely doing that. One of them said, after being asked how it all happened without any real organization, he said,
"I don't know. I guess after the first church burned down in Bergen, people got very enthusiastic about it.
It seems like it.
And that's the tone of all these guys. Like when they talk about the church
Good
burnings,
Lord.
Like when they talk to him now, or at least when they talk to him in the 90s during Lords of Chaos, or the late 90s, early 2000s, they were like, yeah, you know, whatever. Like church burnings, it's fine. Whatever. I don't care. Like, I like it. I like it fine. I think there's other ways to do it now, but I like it. I wish more churches had burned.
It seemed to become a pastime for these guys, huh?
Well, yeah. Now they're just so over it.
Yeah.
It was just so like, yes, church burnings. And they act like all the shit, but it's all an act. Every single thing that they do is an act. The closest
right.
person to being honest now is Fenris.
Yeah.
Who came back from Dark Throne. He's like kind of rejected all the lifestyle and trying to be real, where Varg is thinking he's doing the same thing, but he keeps telling the same stories again and again and again, where it sounds like you're not over it, because he says the Euronymous story like 5 or 6 times in his hundreds of YouTube videos.
And that's the thing about Euronymous, is that he was the guy that was supposedly at the forefront of the whole scene. He was supposed to be the leader, the figurehead, but he actually didn't participate in a lot of this stuff. It seems like the majority of it was done by guys like Varg and Samoth of Emperor, who said he burned churches because, quote,
it felt right to do so. Like when one wants to sing a song in a musical.
Yes.
The emotions get so big that you begin to sing and express yourself. You see how natural that is.
Well, that Henry brings up a good point. When do they play music? Are they performing at all during this
they
time?
All they do is play. I mean, church burning is not, that's an evening.
That's an evening. Okay, yeah, so the concerts are during the day and the church burnings are at night.
Yeah, but they're not burning churches every single night.
Okay.
They definitely don't have jobs.
No jobs.
It's not like they're going to a job all day long and then going and burning churches at night. And that's the other thing about these guys. You know, they're trying to rebel against Norwegian society. Every single fucking one of them are on welfare.
Yeah.
These guys are all living off of the government dime, and this is the society. That's the fucking ironic thing about it. And that's what's ironic about most of these people is they're complaining about society being too good. They're complaining about the standard of living in Norway being too high.
Right.
The reason why the standard of living in Norway being too high, that's why you can be a black metal musician. That's why you can spend all day hanging out in a record store waxing philosophical about the nature of evil and Satan.
Yeah, because the government's taking care of you like an asshole. And then you have to go there and you have to do anything. Like, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, it's because it's also the posing. It's all of the posing that got everybody in trouble. And then what we're going to find out, what Varg calls the media event in next episode, and all these things, the way he builds it all up, they all get used. And essentially, this whole church burning movement ruins all of their lives.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Well, see, Euronymous, his star was starting to fall a little bit in the eyes of some of the musicians in the scene. And not surprisingly, Euronymous was a shitty businessman. And a lot of the guys hadn't been paid royalties from the records he'd released through Deathlike Silence Productions.
What?
Yeah.
I can't. Can you imagine having to go to Euronymous and be like, you know, I got rent coming up and I haven't eaten in a couple of days. Is it possible to just get the check?
Yeah, about that. You know what would be like totally the most evil thing in the world? Now, my big thing is, you know how I tell people, like, I told you to wear that choker necklace that you wear, and you look fucking cool, right?
Yeah, cool.
You like that, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's cool.
Shoes
I feel
that you're
cool.
Wearing?
Yeah.
I told you to
cool.
wear those shoes. You bought those shoes.
Yeah,
you look good.
I feel cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I feel cool.
What would not be the most evil thing in the world but to not pay you your royalties?
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
It's cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
you're going to get out of my shop. I'm going to buy a new crop top, which is funny because what I have to do is buy a normal shirt, and I have to cut it into
cut
a crop
the shirt,
top.
Shirt, yeah.
So,
I'll be going.
Yeah.
Well, all these guys were starting to see that Euronymous' whole thing was just an act. And now, I'm not going to say that the black metal scene was a cult. It absolutely was not. But there was definitely some cult mentality happening. And it wasn't necessarily about control or power. It was about influence. It was about who was going to set the tone. And I think, above all, it was about ego, particularly the ego of Varg Vikernes.
Because these dudes are all hanging out. They're hanging out in this record shop. They want to perpetuate this lifestyle. They don't want it to ever change. People are starting to come around. It's starting like there's a lot of interest starting to be developed. But the problem is true is that like Euronymous is just spending everybody's money. His whole plan is not working out. So you're just staring at this dude while you're having three other like truly dangerous people. Because like Varg is now becoming a dangerous person. Hellhammer's dangerous. We're going to find out Bard.
Hellhammer's dangerous?
Yeah.
I cannot believe a man named Hellhammer is dangerous. I refuse to believe it.
I actually think he would be a lot scary if his name was just like Terrence. I think that would actually be scary if he looked like that and be like, have you met Brian? And he's like, hello, I'm Brian. Like, Brian seems off today. But they go, so you have like all of these elements happening, and now everyone's just staring at Euronymous, who's sitting in there with a white sweatshirt on, eating a kebab.
Right.
With all of your money.
Right, right.
Yeah. And that is how it all ended in murder. Which we'll get to in the conclusion to Norwegian Black Metal.
All right, Norwegian Black Metal, part two in the books. Interesting stuff.
Do you feel that you've learned a lot?
I feel confused on how to pronounce a lot of things.
Yeah, yes. I do too. Yeah. I do too, and I know we're gonna get all the tweets, and yes.
Well, who knows how to pronounce these things?
Yeah, guys, we didn't forget stoner metal. I just didn't mention stoner metal because we couldn't spend half the episode talking about all the different kinds of metal.
No,
so,
what's stoner metal?
Like Sleep. Go listen to Sleep.
There's a band named Sleep?
Yeah, they're great, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's an album that's what just about, like one long song.
Yeah,
just... Yeah. Oh, that's kind
of
fun.
Yeah. And then there's drone metal with like Sun O, who's fucking great. Yeah, there's
okay.
There's a lot of bands that we didn't mention.
It sounds kind
of
like this.
A little bit.
No, that's more
a
like
different. Like a helicopter landing. All right. Yeah. What about Spoon? What's the band Spoon all about?
Spoon's like indie rock. Yeah.
That's indie rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That could not be further away from metal.
I saw them live. I just
yeah,
don't.
Spoon's great.
They were fun.
Yeah,
they were
fun.
There was a fight. There was a fight at the Spoon concert, as a matter of fact.
I would actually imagine there's much more likelihood of being a fight at a Spoon concert than at a Sun O concert.
But the music wasn't very violent.
No, it's not.
But there was a fight. I don't know what happened. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. What do we have to talk about? We have September 22nd. We're in Toronto.
Yes, please come out to the Toronto show.
Please come out. And then September 23rd, we're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but that show's sold out.
Okay, that show is sold out. But yeah. We'll hang out with, if you can't get there, you know, just hang out. We'll meet you.
So if you liked our series that we're doing, Black Metal, which we're doing right now, you should also check out the Death Metal Boys. They're also doing a series on Black Metal that's pretty sweet. So if you can't get enough.
Uh-oh.
Black metal, which I think is easy. It's like there's a lot of people like really interested in the topic.
Yeah, so
it's fun. It's like I fucking love this shit.
Who knew there was so much into it?
Oh, I know.
There, well, yeah, no, that makes sense.
You can follow us on Twitter at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel. Follow us on Instagram at Dr. Fantasty, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel, the number one. And follow us on all of the bullshits at LP on the left.
That's it. And let's see.
Go to lastpodcastnetwork.com to check out all the other shows that we have here on the network. We got a new one. It's called The Story Must Be Told.
Ooh.
Features roundtable favorites Reed Failer and Andrew Short. If you like really weird, bizarre, surreal stuff, it's like a storytelling show. It's really fucking cool. I'm really excited to have it on the network.
Check that out. Also, LPN Network, Last Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. Check out Abel Against Tom Pat for everything political. Roundtable of Gentlemen, Page 7, Sex and Other Human Activities, Movie Sign with the Mads. So many great shows coming. Yeah. Right to you there on the network.
I want to actually reach out to some of the people that gave us they gave us 5 stars on iTunes. I've seen what you've done here. There's some people, someone immediately said that they don't like what we're joking about. I got to stop reading these iTunes podcasts.
You really got to stop reading the iTunes.
Never read
iTunes
the reviews.
Never.
It's not real.
I just like to go at the people that said Henry sent me because there were a bunch of people. Where is it? Henry sent me. Oh, we got Emma Hill said Henry sent me. What's going on? I don't know if you even knew. I don't know how you know what your iTunes account is. I don't even know how you'd even find that. I would say that The Best by Joey Bags.
Thank you.
She says Henry sent me. Man says Henry. We got The Real Bull. A Rust Player did it. They all did that. Yajira B did that.
All right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of these. I'm just looking at these. I didn't realize just how many there was of the Henry sent me's. The Love on the Bluff has got on there.
Well, thank you,
There's
Love on the Bluff.
Yeah. Everybody did good. Oh, yeah. J-Mo Gator.
I like him. He sounds like a college football coach.
Yeah.
J-Mo Gator. All right, everyone.
See, J-Mo Gator.
I love him.
Saturday.
Hail
your Arkansas Razorbacks.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me. And make sure before you shut off this podcast, you need to go to Amazon right now, buy yourself a Mjolnir hammer to wear on a lanyard in order to show all the Norwegians on your block that they are home.
Magustalations.